honest. We don't have no bread here. And if we could find some, we don't have enough money to buy the bread to feed all of these people. But the Bible said Jesus, knowing what he was going to do, asked him that anyhow. Because he wanted Philip to feel the weight of the responsibility that he had. The ministry is more than glamour. It's more than getting up and preaching and then have folks pat you on the back and say you preach good. Trust me. You appreciate when that happens, but most of the time it don't. But there's more to it than that. There is a responsibility. There is a load that you never escape from. It's always there. And I tell you, you might as well learn it at an early age, because if you stay true to God, as you get older, it really doesn't get any easier. The weight gets heavier and heavier. Outside of Christ, the most prized possession I have is my wife, and then my family, my children. But as life goes on, when I think about raising, we raised, of course, David and then the girls. And the two girls, the girls are about grown to that respect. And you know, you think, well, you get out from under the caring and the worrying. But Brother Dave, then the grandchildren come along. And they're just as precious. And they mean just as much. And so the load is still there. And that's the same respect it is in the ministry. You never get to the place that you get out from under it until the pen is broken and you say goodbye to this world. So I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. And to all the lay people that's here today, I want you to know something. I have always been taught, and I have taught my children, one of the greatest blessings you have is your pastor. The man that preaches to you the truth of God's word. Don't ever let anything, listen, hello out there. At church, when it gets a little quiet, I feel like sometimes I'm preaching on the radio broadcast. Hello out there in radio land. No response, you know, you're just talking. But now listen, don't let anything get between you and your pastor. Don't expect the pastor to straighten it out if you got bad feelings. You talk to him. He's a man of God. I said, you talk to him. He's a man of God. He'll talk to you. He'll counsel with you. He'll give you better counsel than any other preacher will. Hello out there in radio land. Hallelujah. That's right. Praise God. Just before Sharon sings, I'm glad David's with me today. Hallelujah. And I want him to come and testify. This is our firstborn. Come on, son. Praise the Lord.
Brother Healy would like to see the ritual.
Yes, he would.
Woo! Praise be in prayer,
boy. Well, it's good to be with you all this morning. And well, I'd have been with you yesterday, but I had to do a little stuff around the house, but I can't be with you. But it's good to be with you here today. And good to see Brother Gary. Yeah. And I hadn't saw him in a long time. It's probably up at Bedford, I guess. So, but it's good to see him. Good to see all the familiar faces. I was thinking, as I was sitting over there on the pew, I was thinking of the story of the lame man laying by the gate.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And if you ever read the story, it's really been on my mind the last few days how he lay there. And Peter and John come walking by. And of course, he offered one of the alms, and Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they grabbed him and raised him up. And you know where he went? He went straight into the temple. Hallelujah. And they all went into the temple. But the story don't stop there.
No.
You see, the man of Israel, as Peter said, was marveling. They couldn't believe it.
Right. Come on, Dave.
And Peter said, "Ye men of Israel, why are you marveling?
Yeah.
You're marveling like we did this. You're marveling like we did this in our power. Hallelujah." And he began to talk to them. And in chapter number 4, we find out that the high priest come in. Now, I promise I'm not going to preach. I just want to talk to you just a couple minutes. And we find the high priest come in. And they began to question about what Peter and John did.
Yes.
They questioned about, what name did you do this in? How did you do this?
Why?
Hallelujah. And in verse number, I just want to read a few verses to you. And I sit down and get out of the way. Hallelujah. But in verse number 7 of chapter number 4, we find the scripture says this: "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost." I said, "And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, said unto them, ye rulers of people and elders of Israel, if we did this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole." Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. And he began to talk, and we find out in verse number 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men," they saw it in themselves. They were ignorant to the things that Peter and John were saying. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Verse number 14, and then I said, "Sit down and get out of the way. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it."
Hallelujah.
I want you to know I have been in this Pentecostal, and really anymore you guys say holiness Pentecostal, way for 26 years. In the last part of July of this year, it will be 10 years ago, I preached my first message. I titled this, I wanted to preach on sticking together, but I got up and I was so nervous I preached on stinking together. So you title it however you want it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Come on,
but,
Dave.
I have been this way. I want you to know I'm only 26. As I tell people, don't let my hair fool you.
Right.
I'm still only 26. Dad said the other day that his turned gray then turned loose.
Yeah.
I said, mine never got a chance to turn gray. It's just gone. But anyway, hallelujah. I want you to know I have saw things happen in the church. And I have not saw it near as much as these other brothers have, but I have saw people, hallelujah, that question the moving of the Holy Ghost. And they have saw, I have saw people question the manner in which the Lord has made a way for other people and the manner in which the Lord works. Hallelujah. But I've also saw and found out that the Lord will shut them up.
Come on,
I said, I also found out that the Lord will shut them up. You see, they was questioning Peter and John. How could you do this? Why did you do this? Hallelujah. But when they listened to Peter and John, and then they look over and they see the man that's been laying by that gate for 40 years, the Bible says, laying there. 40 years. They walked past him day after day after day, and all of a sudden there he is. And beholding the man, guess what? They could say nothing. And you'll find out when you stick with the way of God and when you're filled with the Holy Ghost and do what you know is right. Hallelujah, the skeptics can say nothing against it.
Come on,
may the Lord bless you.
Come on,
the sunrise and a new beginning fills the skies. New hope comes from dreaming, fills my heart.
Right.
Joy that cannot be explained is mine today. And it seems as if there's nothing that can tear this hope apart. But in the course of life and living, there's one thing I found. Oft times the dreams that I've dreamed come falling to the ground. And it seems the only purpose that my dreams serve at all is to set me up again, to take another fall. Oh, but it's in times like these when I just can't understand. I can take hold of God's unchanging hand, because He's my comfort when no comfort can be found. He is my fortress when I'm seeking higher ground, and He is my refuge when the storms of life are closing in on me. Seems all hope is gone, and when I don't know what's around the bend, I know I always can depend on my Jesus. Another day begins and disappointment may cloud your view, and you long to know the joy that life can bring. Dreams have long ago faded away, and you're searching for a reason, for a song to sing. In God's holy word there is a promise I have found. We are more than conquerors through Him whose love abounds. And we know that God is working for the good to those who are called, and He'll be there to pick you up when you fall. So neither life nor death nor any power, present or to come, none can separate you from God's love. He'll be your comfort when no comfort can be found. He'll be your fortress when you are seeking higher ground, and He'll be that refuge when the storms of life come closing in on you. You can always lean upon, and He'll be your closest friend when it seems all your friends have gone. And when you don't know what's around the bend, just know you always can depend on Jesus. On Jesus, 'cause He'll be your comfort. around the bend. Know that you always can depend on Jesus. When I don't know what's around the bend, I know I always can depend on Jesus. When I don't know what's around the bend, I know I can depend on Jesus. When I don't know what's around the bend. There's been a lot of times in my life I didn't know what was around the bend. And if I knew, I'd probably go running the other way. But there's one thing I did know, that whatever was waiting around the bend, I know the Lord would go with me through whatever it was that I had to face. Whatever trial, whatever persecution that you may have to go through, the Lord won't leave you. No matter how much the devil tries to tell you, he's not there, he's there. He's there all the way. So if we can hold on to that, we can make it anyhow. No matter what the devil says, we can make it. Sometimes the devil, he tries to block me as I travel this Christian race. You see, he's never too busy to try and make me go astray. So I look to the hills from which cometh my help. I lift my hands and I say to myself, I'm going on. I'm going on with Jesus. That I can hardly see my way, but I just look to the hills from which cometh my help. And I lift my hands and I just say to myself, keep going on, you gotta go on with Jesus anyhow. Jesus!
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God. I'm going on. I'm going on with Jesus. Anyhow, praise God. We say again, it's a privilege to be here and be a part of this meeting. And certainly glad to share the platform with Brother Edenfield and Brother Brand. Appreciate their ministry and the challenge they put in our hearts each time that they preached here in this meeting. If you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn with us to the book of Exodus, chapter number 7. Exodus, chapter number 7 today. And we'll look at the word of the Lord. Some scripture that we're all acquainted with. But bear with us while we look at the word of the Lord and stay with us. Exodus chapter number 7 and verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, spake unto them, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Shew a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your blessings. We appreciate certainly the opportunity of being in your house today, your presence that we have sensed and felt. I ask you, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Ghost, you would help us to be a blessing to the people today through your word. We thank you, Lord, for all that's been accomplished in this meeting. Oh, God, help us, I pray, as only you can. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. I say again that I am aware that what I have read to you is a common story, well known by everyone, no doubt here today. But I want to draw your attention, if I could, to verse number 9. Verse number 9 of chapter number 7. The Bible said, And Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Shew a miracle for you. Then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And it shall become a serpent. I want to preach today, if the Lord will help me, I want to preach on the last staff. The last staff. I know that, as I've said before, the scripture is familiar with you. We know about Moses. We know about the history of Moses. We are aware of how God spoke to Moses while he was tending his father-in-law Jethro's sheep. And he saw a bush burning. And he saw it again and again and again. And the thing that caught his attention, as all of us know, is not that the bush was burning, but that it wasn't burning up. It wasn't being consumed. And so he turns aside to see such a sight. He goes up on the mountain, and when he gets up there, God speaks to him from the burning bush and tells him to take off his shoes. He's on holy ground. God says to Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. I'm going to send you back to Egypt to lead the people out. And the scripture says to you and I, and we're all aware of it, he begins to make excuses, he can't go.
And God asked Moses a question. He said, "What's in your hand?" "Just my rod, a staff." He said, "Throw it down. It becomes a serpent." You know the scripture. The Lord tells him to pick it up again and it turns back to a rod. And of course he tells him to put his hand in his bosom and he brings it out and it's leprous and he puts it back and it's clear. And God is instilling in the heart of Moses that he wants him to go. So God gets Moses in the notion of going. And Aaron is going to go with him. And God begins to speak to Moses and said, "You know, when you get down there, I'm going to tell you right now, Pharaoh ain't going to listen to you." You ever preach to people and you know they wasn't going to listen to you? Hallelujah. Anyhow, praise God. He goes down. He agrees to go before Pharaoh, and Aaron's going to do the speaking. And so the Bible said that Moses goes down, and God speaks to Aaron and Moses on the way down there and says, "When you get there, and Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he's going to want a sign. He's wanting you to prove that the power of God is with you." And so when you get down there and he's determined not to let him go, he said, "I'll tell you what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to take the staff and throw it down." And so the scripture says to you and I that he goes and he throws the staff down. And now listen, folks. I really felt like preaching what I'm preaching to you today. A lot of times, you know, the Lord deals with people in different ways. Sometimes until I get to the meeting and feel the moving of the Spirit and God deals with my heart that way. But a couple of weeks ago, the Lord dealt with me about two messages for this meeting. Hallelujah. So Moses and Aaron goes down there. And I'm going to ask you to help me out today, son, if you would. Moses and Aaron make their appeal and petition to seek Pharaoh, and finally it's granted, and Moses and Aaron come in before Pharaoh. Praise God. And when they get in there, they tell Pharaoh what they're there for, and of course he ain't having none of it. No way. I'm not turning them loose, but God wants his people to go. I am not turning them loose. Hallelujah. How do I know God's with you anyhow? Who is this God that I should serve him, that I should obey him and listen to you? And you know, about that time when he asked that question, Moses looks over at Aaron without Pharaoh hearing, and he said, "This is what we've been waiting for. Hallelujah. Throw the staff down." And all of us know what happens. It turns into a serpent. I guess we showed him. He'll know the power of God is with us. Hallelujah. Look at that, would you? Praise God. Well, you do know that that didn't impress Pharaoh, don't you? Pharaoh just whispers to the man at his right side and says, "Go get the magicians." Hallelujah. And they bring in Pharaoh's magicians and they see what's taking place and they have staffs in their hands. And the Bible said they throwed them down. And you know what happened? They become a serpent also. Hallelujah. But one of the most unusual things takes place at this time that you'll ever read about in the Word of God. I don't know how many magicians it was. Each of them with a staff. Throw down. I don't know, Brother Collins, how many staves were thrown down against that staff that Moses had. But when they turn into a serpent, they begin their hissing and their squirming and they're moving and they're coming against that serpent that, or that staff that is laying there that came from the hand of Moses. And they're coming against that. Now listen. One by one they come against it. But Brother Brim, one by one, the mouth of that serpent, of that staff, opens up and consumes them. And another one comes and
and another one, and another one. Hallelujah. One by one they come against it, and it opens up its mouth and it consumes them, until when it's all said and done, just one last staff. Hallelujah. And Moses goes over, reaches down, and picks it up. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Back to his staff it is. Pharaoh is mad. Pharaoh is upset. Man, oh man, you talk about mad, Brother Thomas. I'm telling you, Pharaoh is mad. The magicians drop their heads. And Pharaoh slams his hands down on the rails of the seat, jumps up, turns around, throws his robe around him, and stomps off. And them magicians are following behind him. And I love it. They don't have no staff. They don't have nothing to lean on. They don't have anything to count on. Hallelujah. And Brother Hurst, Moses and Aaron turns around and leaves, staff in hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to preach a little while today, Brother Setzer, about this last staff. Hallelujah. Do you know from the very time that God called Moses, the staff, the rod was in his hand? I want you to understand something right now. You feel the way you want to about it. But I'm of the opinion that all this was happening not just for Pharaoh to see what power God had, but he wanted to instill in the heart of Moses. Hey, come on here now. Praise God. He used the staff from the very beginning. He could have called thunder down or lightning down for Moses. He could have split a mountain in part for Moses. He could have done anything to prove to Moses that he wanted him to go down and lead the children of Israel. But he used the rod. He used the staff. And when he got down before Pharaoh and he told him to throw down the staff and it will become a serpent, he never told Moses that the magicians could do it. He never told Moses the obstacles that he'd face. He just told him what to do. Hey, let me tell you something. I want you to know that we're living in a world that will do their very best to imitate what God gives us. They will do their very best, I'm telling you, to imitate what God gives us. They will offer up their worship, but it's not true worship. They will bring their pleasures and their excitements up, and they will send people on their highs up, but it's not high from the moving of the Spirit of God. It's nothing more than an imitation. I want you to understand something today. I'm preaching about the last staff. I want you to know that the Bible said that Moses had that staff in hand and he throwed it down, and then the Bible teaches to you and I, the Bible says that he swallowed up all the serpents that were there. I'm glad for the staff of God's word. I'm glad for the staff of God's truth. I said I faced things in my life, and many of you all have, and I want you to know I'm glad I had the staff in my hand. I've seen those moments of discouragement when I got to wondering, is it all going to be worth it? When I was traveling on that journey, I was leaning heavily upon the staff. Sometimes the way got rough, and sometimes the way got hard, and I was leaning on it, and then that old serpent of discouragement would come along. Hallelujah. You ain't going to make it. It ain't going to work. Nobody's going to help you. Nobody's going to stand beside you. You'll never get it accomplished. And if I wasn't careful, I got to listening. But all of a sudden, I heard a voice from another world say, hey, David, throw down the staff, man. Throw down the staff. And I throw down the staff of God's word and God's truth. And that old serpent that reared its ugly head would rear it again. And the staff of God's word and the staff of God's truth would reach out and swallow it up. Hallelujah. And I'd pick it up. Praise God. And I'd go on my journey a little bit farther. Woo, come on now. Praise God. I get on down the road, and then all of a sudden, when it seemed like things was not just the way I wanted them to be, the old serpent of doubt would come on.
Woo, help me. Say this with all due respect. But us in the ministry have to battle doubt. Because we're in the place of leadership. If it don't go over, the others can make it. But we're the ones that said it's going over. You know, Brother Brim, when you tell folks God give you this land to build a church on, it's a gift of God. And all these problems, and some well-meaning person comes along and says, are you sure it's God's will? Well, I said it was, didn't I? And after two or three of them comes along and more problems, you know, hallelujah. And you've had all of those problems and all of those troubles, and then somebody calls you up on the phone and said, Reverend Brock, and throws out a figure and offers you twice what you paid for it. Hallelujah. Are you sure it's God's will? Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it's God's will. Praise God. Hallelujah. One less tree to inventory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, come on here now. I'm talking about the last staff. The last staff. Hallelujah. And that old doubt sets in. And you just, you know, hey, you're in that dungeon. You're down there. You're discouraged. You're disheartened. Is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? And all the time the staff is in your hand. How am I going to get past this? How am I going to get through this? How's God going to help me on this? I'll tell you how God's going to help you. Put down the staff. Throw down the staff. Hallelujah. And the staff is thrown down. And that old serpent that has reared its ugly head again is devoured by God's word. And by God's truth, I want to preach to us today that we need to hold on to the staff. It is the last thing that we must be holding on to. It is the last thing that we must be holding on to. I can make it without a home. I can make it without an automobile. I can lose a lot of things. But I can't make it without the staff, without God's word, without the truth of God's word. Whew. Hallelujah. The staff. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you what, Brother David. You know what they're doing down the road, don't you? You know how they're making it down the road. They done built theirs. Hallelujah. They done got theirs built. Hallelujah. Or listen, Brother David. They're really having a great revival, but yeah, I know they don't see it just like we do, and I know they're not preaching it like we preach it, and I know they're not living it, but listen, hey, they got a full house. Come on. Praise God. Look at their parking lot. It's filled. Praise God. Hallelujah. And what about that? Well, all I got's God's word. Hallelujah. Come on now. Praise God. The last staff. Praise God. Woo, help me preach today, Lord. Hallelujah. How valuable is the staff? How valuable is what we hold in our hand? And what we possess. I'll tell you how valuable it is. The Bible says to you and I that when the death angel passed through the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. And listen. When the darkness was in Egypt, there was light in the land of Goshen. Yes, there was. The plagues, most of the plagues were stayed from the land of Goshen. But this death angel, this tenth and final plague, the death angel came through the land of Goshen, just like it did all of the land of Egypt. The difference was the children of Israel, you know it. They had killed the lamb. They had caught its blood. They had taken the hyssop weed. They had placed it upon the lintel and on the doorpost of the house. And they got inside the house and they stayed there. But there was something else that must be done. The lamb must be put in the fire and roasted well. Hallelujah. And gather your family in around the table. And I tell you what I want you to do. If the lamb and the family is not big enough for all the lamb, get more than one family. Get enough so that everybody can have
something to eat. And when you sit down to eat, I tell you how I want you to eat it. I want you to eat it with your feet shod. Woo, come on here now. And I want you not only to have on your shoes, but I want you to have something in your hand. Praise God. I said, I want you to have something in your hand. God said, Moses, you tell the people to make sure they're ready to go when they eat and make sure they got their staff in their hand. We're not going to take this journey. We're not going to travel this way. I know it's God's will. I know God wants to bring us out. I know God wants us to go to the land of promise. But we ain't going without the staff. We're not going without the staff in our hand. We're going to hold on to God's word. We're going to hold on to God's truth. Every step we make, we're going to make it leaning upon the staff. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't feel too feeble today. It's hard to lean right now. Hallelujah. But I am leaning on the Spirit of God, but on this thing. Woo! Praise God. I know it don't look like a whole lot. It really kind of looks like a serpent, don't you think? Praise God. Hallelujah. Whew. Praise God. But I tell you what I'm going to do, Brother Barker. I'm going to lean on it. I'm going to count on it. Praise God. Well, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, that the old patriarch Jacob got up and blessed his children just before he died and began to worship the Lord, leaning on his staff. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm lame. You touched me in the hollow of my thigh. I've been lame ever since I got your touch. Hallelujah. But you know the blessing was it caused me to lean on my staff more. Oh, glory to God. It caused me to lean on your truth more. It caused me to depend upon your truth more. No wonder, hey, praise God. No wonder the individual wrote about that song and said, I've lost my flag in battle, but my staff is in my hand. I'm taking it to Jesus over in the glory land. In distant lands I trod, crying sinner, come to God. Hallelujah. And all the time, Brother Hurst, staff still in hand. All the time, Brother Kevin, staff still in hand. I dare not lay down the staff. I dare not take a journey, Brother Farley, without the staff. I dare not go down the road without my staff in my hand. I lean on it. I depend upon it. Hey, Brother Gary, it's God's word and it's God's truth. It's my only defense in an hour of the last day. It's my only defense. It's my only surety in the last day. In the last hour, and that is God's word, God's truth, the staff of God in my hand. Praise God. Whoo, hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you what, Gehazi and Elisha was up on Mount Carmel, way down yonder. They see a speck of dust rising, and it gets closer, closer. Who is that, Gehazi? Who is that? Hallelujah. I don't know, Lord. I don't know who it is. Why? That's a Shunammite woman. Hey. What the problem is. I don't always have the answer. Hallelujah. I wish to could. Sometimes I can look at folks and God helps me to know what's the matter, but not always. I don't know what the problem is, but stick around just a little bit. Man of God, did I ask you for a son?
Did I build that room and my husband, did we work on that just so we would get a son? We didn't ask for anything special, any blessing, but you gave us a son. And my son is dead. And the Bible says to you and I that the man of God looks to the servant Gehazi and said, Gehazi, I want you to take my staff. Hallelujah. And I want you to go down to the house of the Shunammite woman. And if anybody hollers at you, if anybody tries to stop you and talk to you, don't wait on nobody. Don't stop for nothing. You go straight to the house. You get to where the child is. And when you get down there, I want you to take the staff and I want you to lay it on the child. Hallelujah. Gehazi does just like he's told to do. Woo, come on here now. Praise God. I want to tell you right now, he lays the staff on the dead child and there ain't no life. He doesn't blink his eyes. He doesn't draw a quick breath and start breathing. He doesn't move his fingers. No sign, no movement, no life whatsoever. But the important thing is that the staff is there. Hallelujah. Now, for all of my preaching brethren, I just want to tell you something. There has been times that I have gone to church and I have preached like you have. I have preached and preached and preached and preached, Brother Dave, what I know God told me to preach. I address what I know, Brother Jim, God told me to address. Hallelujah. And when service was over with and everybody had gone home, I went to my study. Man, that's about as bad as you ever done, boy. There ain't no spark of life in that group. Come on here now. Praise God. I didn't see anybody smile. I didn't see any life whatsoever. Praise God. Kind of like those services when you wish a baby'd cry. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Praise God. But I want you to know, the fact of the matter is, it's not what I see, it's what I do with what God's given me to do. It's what I do with the staff or with the word, with the truth that God has placed in my hand. Gehazi, I want you to take it down and lay it on the child. I'm not asking you to breathe upon it. I'm not asking you to do anything particular. I just want you to lay the staff on the child. Hey, preacher, we're required to preach God's word. You know that, don't you? We are required to preach the truth of God's word. We are required to preach the holiness of God's word. We are required to preach the standards of God's word. Somebody said, I ain't seeing nothing happen, preach it anyhow. Somebody said, I ain't seeing no life, preach it anyhow. The staff of God's word is a sign. It is a sign that better things are to come. Elisha's on his way. Mount Carmel is moving. God's on his way. Preach the word. Well, I'll tell you what. What about the staff? Well, it's where I was told to put it. Don't move it. Hey, Brother Colin. Several years ago, I was going through a hard place. Like preachers and like everybody does for that matter. And I had a dream, Brother Dave, that I was at my church. And I was laying on the platform at my church. And this dream just appeared. I mean, I can't remember anything that went on before it, Brother Thomas. All of a sudden, just in my dream, I was laying there and there was this huge beast. I was laying on my back and there was this huge beast that was jumping up and down on my chest. Jumping up and coming down, hit me with all four. And every time it come down, and I mean, every time it hit me, I felt life leaving me. What am I going to do? Every time it come down, life was leaving me. And I was laying there sprawled out and didn't have any strength, didn't know what I was going to do. And I remember well, laying there all of a sudden, I felt the tip of something with my fingers. And I stretched a little bit farther. And when I stretched a little bit farther, I felt a Bible. Hallelujah. And that beast kept coming down. Brother Brandon kept coming down. And when I got enough to where I could get the corner of the Bible, I remember reaching and grabbing for it, and that beast went up. And before it could come down, I laid the Bible right there on my chest. Oh, hallelujah. It never did come back down. Praise God. I said it never did come back down. And if it wouldn't look too bad, I'd sprawl out right here and tell you, but I ain't going to. But anyhow, I remember laying there and it didn't come down. And I put my hands on the Bible and I said, whew, oh, it feels good. Oh, that feels good. Hallelujah. It's the truth. It's God's word of truth. We must apply it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And all the time, Elisha's coming. The staff is there. Leave the staff there. Leave the staff there. Don't move the staff until it's replaced with Elisha. Hallelujah. Whoo, glory to God. I'll tell you what the word will do. It'll preserve you and I until the Spirit comes along and begins to revive us. Come on here now. Praise God. Whoo, hallelujah. I said it will preserve us. We will hold on to it. It will be such a part of us that all of the intricacies of death, the deterioration that's involved in death. Are you with me here today? All these things that normally take place, Brother Dave Miller, on a dead body is stopped because the staff is there. Come on now. Praise God. No more deterioration. Praise God. We're waiting for the reviving. We're waiting for the moving. Oh, glory to God. And when the staff is moved, Elisha places his body on the body of the child. You all know the story. He puts his hands in the child's hands. He puts his face on the child's face. He gets up and walks around and prays, and then he goes back again. Then he comes back and prays, and he goes back again the third time. And do you know what happens? Whoo! Praise God. The child is brought back to life. Elisha takes the staff. The child is presented to the mother. Elisha takes his staff in hand. And on he goes. Hey, listen to me, my precious friend. Don't lay it down. Don't discard it. Don't push it by the wayside. Whoo, glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you, those things that I've learned in bygone days, those things that I've learned in the histories of yesterday, oh, God, help me today. Praise God, not to lay them down. I said, God, help me today not to lay them down. Oh, glory to God. I need them. I'm still on the journey. Are you hearing me? I am still on the journey. There's been a many time I've had to lean on it. There's been a many time when I didn't have a friend around that I could put my arm around them and lean upon them. There's been a lot, many a time I've longed for precious fellowship from the brethren, and they weren't there. But the one thing I always was able to lean on was the staff, was God's word, God's truth. And in the secret places I could go and I could sit there and I could meditate on God's word. Hey, I know everybody's different. You know, there's been times I went to Charity Tabernacle and went in, didn't turn any lights on, didn't go to my study. Sometimes I just go over in the amen corner and sit down. Oh, it feels good in here. Hallelujah. It just feels good to sit down in the amen corner. Praise God. Brother John Rose was with us last night. Family we got from a charismatic church in our area. Praise God. Used to be Pentecost. I don't guess I had to name it. But anyhow, they got to come into charity and come a few weeks. And I finally asked them what they was going to do. They said, I think we're going to make this our home church. If you don't care, feel like it's God's will. I said, I know it is. Come on. Gained 8 of them. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, gained 8 of them in one family. Praise the Lord. You know what he said going home last night? He watched that young fella get a blessing last night right up along here and rolled in the floor. He said, all my life I've heard about holy rollers, and that was the first time I'd seen one. I mean, hallelujah. He was so excited. He was so overjoyed by what he had seen. Hey, come on here now. Why in the world would we let go and turn loose of what's brought us this far when we've leaned on it all of these years, when we've depended upon it all of these years, when it's been the thing that's made our songs real, when it's been what's made our testimonies real, when it's been what's made our preaching powerful? It was the Word of God. It was the truth of God's Word. It stood when the world was on fire. And it'll do to hold on to as we journey. You know, you probably heard it, but a reporter came after Spurgeon preached one time. Reporter came to him and said, Mr. Spurgeon, he said, how do you defend the gospel you preach? He looked at him and said, sir, I defend it like I would a caged lion. I just opened the door. I just opened the cage. Hallelujah. You don't have to defend the truth. It will defend itself. When the enemy comes, put down the truth. Hallelujah. I said, put down the truth, Brother John. When all of these problems and troubles and cares of life get heavier and heavier and weigh upon us, put down the truth of God's Word. Hallelujah. You'll not be able to overcome them on yourself, but let God's Word do it. Let the truth of God's Word do it. Let the moving of the Spirit of God do it. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Maybe it wasn't what you was expecting this morning. But I'll tell you, my friend, I'm good. Thank you. Better than what I expected. Hallelujah. Well, listen. I don't know about you today, but I feel like leaving the land of Egypt. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to eat the lamb. Shoes on my feet, staff in my hand. And if it wasn't a ministers association meeting, I'd be tempted to have a Jericho march this morning. Hallelujah. I'd say, anybody got your staff with you? Hey, have you got your staff with you? Are you tired of this weary land? Has the taskmasters left their mark on your back enough times? Come on. Have you heard your children cry enough? Have you helped your feeble mom and feeble dad around enough till you're ready to say, hey, I'm leaving this land? Praise God. And Moses with his staff in his hand, and the people gathered behind them after having taken the spoils of the land of Egypt. Everybody with a staff in hand. Everybody leaving the land of Egypt. Hallelujah. I know what you're saying. You're saying, hey, Brother David, I just don't think I'm ready to leave right now. Well, I am. Praise God. I said, I am. Praise God. And the Bible said they left the land of Egypt. Everyone with their staff. Everyone following Moses. They were headed to the land of promise. The only way to get there is with staff in hand. It's the last staff. Now listen. Go ahead. Lean upon your silver-handled canes. Yeah. Let the world decorate them all out and lean upon them. But I'll tell you what. Praise God. I'll take the staff that's with me. When I lay down at night, I lay it beside me. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I reach for is my staff. Come on here now. Praise God. When I lead God's people, I must have my staff in my hand. Oh, God help me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I may not have the great orator's voice. I may not have the song of the lark, but I must have my staff in my hand. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Are you hearing me? I'm trying to preach to us today about the last staff. Praise God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. Yes. Thy rod and staff. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Staff in hand. I'm making it in the journey. It's the last staff. With the help and the grace of God, it's what I'm leaning on. And it's all I'm going to lean on. Brother Dave Miller, you and I have been friends almost as long as we can remember. We fellowshipped, our churches did, before we were ever saved. Hallelujah. And we know we're friends. Best friends. But I can't lean on you. You can't lean on me. We've had common friends that have stumbled and fell. If we'd have been leaning on them alone, we would have fallen with them. Hey, Brother Larry. You remember those years long ago when we first come and preach for you? You remember the fella come and preach with me? My dear, dear friend, not only Brother Ely, but the other one. Hallelujah. Brother Bowen. Stumbled. Fell.
Yeah. Lost
now. Oh, God.
God help us.
I've marveled at such preaching. My children make fun of me all the time because I sit with my mouth open while the preacher's preaching. I mean, I just can't help it. Praise God. I love preaching. I love preaching. And I've seen them preach it so high. And then I've watched them stumble and fall. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Had I been leaning on them, Brother Collins, I would have fallen with them. I would have went down with them. But the staff of God's word. Hallelujah. Praise God. The staff of God's word has never tripped me up. The staff of God's word has never given way under the weight of responsibility and under the pressures of life. The staff of God's word has always been sure. You can lean on it. You can lean on it. Praise God. Why don't you stand with us today? Heavenly Father, I honor you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercies. I appreciate your truth. I appreciate your words. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, because I've been able to lean upon your word and upon your truth. Draw me closer to you, Lord. Draw me closer to you. Hallelujah. Help me to realize, oh, God, that the staff is given to me to help me on the journey. Oh, God, let me lean on your truth. Thank you for what we felt while I preached. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.